Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, 1/27, 2015. We're almost into February already for the next year.
It's going. It's happening. I told you I'm about to celebrate my 50th birthday in a couple of months.
Yeah?
That's how fast the show goes.
Yeah. You started, I think, when you were 20.
Unbelievable. Yeah, my wife is planning this party, and she keeps on sending me little invitations she's going to set out. And each one of them says, you know, Andrew's turning 50. And I'm like, enough. I mean, I thought 35 was old.
A giant thing that says 50. Yeah. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that happened. We missed last week because we were preempted.
The president gave a speech.
Yeah, you know, we had a lot of tweets on that, by the way, because they said that we were being preempted by the president. And everybody was aggravated, saying, he gives no stock tips. What's his use?
Well, they got the right idea. I've always told people, you know, that get into financial writing, that they're clueless if they don't know what it's all about. And all it's about is stock tips.
Yep. You know, there's something else. Before we get into this, something that really troubled me this week, the big snowstorm, the big blizzard, the big nothing. I've yet to see a big
dud.
Big dud. And these guys are on TV and they're talking about how, hey, you know what? It's going to be by 10 o'clock, you're not going to be able to see this building, and the wind's going to come, and the tides, and all this terrible stuff. And you know what? They're going to shut down New York. They're going to shut down the bridges. My daughter works at NYU Langone, the hospital, and this department, I guess it's where the offices are, has never, ever, ever, ever shut down, ever. It's a hospital, right? They shut it down. They shut
it down. But it was a dud.
Right. Well, more so.
Did they reopen it?
Well, no, they didn't. But more so, you can't get everybody back by that time and all that. And so New York has a $300 ticket fine if you're driving after a. They closed the bridges. They closed the subways. The subways didn't need to be closed, but they closed the subways. But what is the one thing in New York that's going to be open? The stock market.
Yeah.
And doesn't that send a really poor message? You know, finance is more important than life?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's about money. And, you know, everybody else can stay home, but the show must go on.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much it. But this was a ridiculous. This has been happening more and more. I mean, I don't know. It's annoying. In fact, a lot of weathermen apparently are apologizing.
Yeah, they were. But they're blaming it on the global warming. See, because of global
warming. Yeah, that was it. They were blaming the storm on global warming.
Either
so they're
way.
Blaming the non-storm on global warming.
Yeah, because... so ridiculous. The whole global warming thing.
At some point, you know, these guys, you know, they're pushing this agenda. At some point, they got to realize that they just sound silly.
Yeah.
With blaming everything on global warming.
The funny thing is,
there's a flea problem in New York. There's ticks.
Yep. Ticks are horrible. Oh, I hate those guys. Fleas are terrible. Bed bugs in New York. Oh, that's horrible too. You ever been invaded by bed bugs?
No. Yeah, God, no.
Fortunately. Anyway, so back to the State of the Union address. Obama did provide a couple of good little tidbits throughout there. I don't know if you saw that. There was in the middle of all that, they panned to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Is that her name? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Doesn't sound right.
Yeah, the one who fell asleep?
She fell asleep.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. She conked out right there in the middle of it.
And the funniest thing is my daughter, who is now working in Manhattan, and you know, she leans towards the Republican side, but she never watched the State of the Union address. Well, the first thing, she's texting me as this is going on from New York. She says, who is that guy behind President Obama to the right? He's tanner than Obama.
Man tan.
Unbelievable, right? So she was laughing hysterically about all the ridiculousness of the standing, the sitting, the clapping, the not clapping, the booing, you know, whatever was going on. She was just hysterical by the whole thing. So it was the biggest comedy ever, which it was kind of a comedy.
Yeah, it also had lower ratings than usual. Mm.
So what do you think of it? Anything that you took out of that?
No, in fact, I'm sick of this thing. He doesn't even do the State of the Union. He talks about himself. What he wants to do and what's he going to do and what's going to happen next. It's not the State of the Union when you're telling somebody, well, here's what we're planning. That's not the State of the Union to me.
What
State of the Union is the state the state, what country, what at this moment, what's the country all doing? What's it, is it making money? Is it losing money? Is it, are we doing well? Are we doing crappy?
Now,
not what's going on in 5 years.
Did a lot of presidents do that from their desk in the Oval Office? Or was that the other speech?
No, it's always before Congress.
Which is the one they do in the Oval Office?
I forgot what that, that's some other thing they do.
So one of the things you talked about was this new educational plan where they're going to provide 2 years of free community college education to people, and they're going to get the money to do so by taxing more of the rich. And
how is that the State of the Union?
I have no idea. It's a bully pulpit is what it is. I think this all was about the next election, trying to make sure that, you know, you give to people so that, you know, it's the carrot that they keep
this
on.
This guy's always campaigning.
Oh,
you know what I think? I think he's just hoping out of that maybe out of the blue they're going to let him run for a third term.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, what else? Why does he keep campaigning?
I don't know. Maybe he wants another position. Can he hold another position, like Secretary of State or anything like that?
Yeah, sure.
He can. Can't be vice president, can he?
I don't know about that. That's a good question.
No, because then he'll be president again. Although there are some.
Yeah, but you can't be elected more than twice. That way he'd get the job by accident.
So he just gets a really old guy in there, or gal.
If it was Putin, that's what he'd do.
So one of the things they talked about was taxing educational plans, 529 plans. These are the plans that people put money into for their children's higher education. It grows tax deferred and it's able to be taken out tax free for qualifying expenses related to education.
Right.
And that was mind boggling. Because now what you're going to do is what? That's saying that, I guess, people that have money are to be penalized if they send their save and send their kids to school in favor of giving money to other people who maybe could afford it, couldn't afford it, but at lower rated school. I mean, how does that help our economy long term?
I don't see that it does.
That is not anywhere like Darwinianism at all. I mean, it's not, you know, the survival of the fittest and the, you know, the evolution of man. It's like the de-evolution. Not because of money now. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just talking about the fact that, yes, it gives people more opportunity that maybe didn't have it. But take the money from somewhere else. Don't just kill somebody else's opportunity.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Well, the good news is, obviously, somebody got the better of them. And they decided not to continue with pushing for that particular tax.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that would raise billions of dollars. Terrible. Crazy.
It wouldn't have raised enough to count.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about markets for a second here. Markets have been in a major seesaw recently due to a lot of different factors. Last Friday was a big move up. There was options expiration, although volume was kind of lame. But you saw that it set the stage for potential selling pressure the following week because there was this downtrend that happened and it was going on through January. Nothing major, but enough to be worrisome with the bank earnings and things that are going on. And then Monday we came in and markets kind of moved down, they moved back up. Tuesday, you know, here we are. Microsoft comes out with their earnings, which was ugly. I don't remember the last time I saw Microsoft down 10% in one day. Do you?
No, but yeah, it doesn't. No.
It pretty much just reversed everything.
I think Microsoft's overvalued anyway, but
clearly.
It's just me.
Yeah, well, basically they got the extra earnings from what, firing people, buybacks, right?
Well, actually, he didn't fire as many people as he threatened to fire, which means a lot of people are quitting because they're fearful. It's very poorly handled, mishandled.
Yeah, and the way that they go through their the peer firing, you remember that whole peer overview and oversight and whatever they call that, where they kind of say who's the worst and the lack of
stacked ranking.
Yeah, stacked ranking. Yep. So durable orders came in very, very poor as well. And at one point, the Dow Jones was off by about 350 points today. And that was also because Caterpillar was down about 8% as well. A lot of this is blamed on the dollar being so strong and a lot of headwinds that are going on with the dollar. So it really kind of messed with markets. Then we had last week, something we didn't talk about was this whole currency debacle where the Swiss bank decided overnight to, hey, you know what? We're no longer going to peg the Swiss franc to the euro. It was pegged at 120 for the last 3 years. Overnight, and it was a surprise move, overnight the franc went up 40% at one point.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, that's more than a lot. That's historically a lot. And it actually put a lot of firms out of business. Hedge funds are closing up. A company called FXCM, which is the largest.
Why would it cause this to happen? Because if you're in the Swiss, unless you were short Swiss francs.
Yeah, somehow. They're short Swiss francs.
What?
They're short Swiss francs.
Yeah, I would do it.
I was trying to put my arms around this and get understanding of why anybody was short the Swiss franc. I was really struggling with this. I mean, I'm like, what's the point of shorting a currency that's pegged artificially? The idea was that I guess you could, in a way, arbitrage the euro and the Swiss franc and maybe use the Swiss franc as, maybe if you're buying Swiss stocks and you don't want the currency issue, you short the Swiss franc maybe.
Or, I think you can go through these mental exercises for days and never figure this one out.
I didn't understand it. I really didn't. But major losses, like one of the problems was FXCM. See, one of the problems is that they allowed individuals, retail investors, to lever up in a big way currencies. Because if you just traded like dollar for dollar the currency, there's not a lot of movement. 1% here, 0.5% there. But if you margin it up and lever it up, you know, you get big moves. So now all of a sudden a $5,000 trade could be maybe worth, let's call it, $50,000. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, when you get a 40% move on a $50,000 deal, right? You wiped it out.
You lost the whole deal. Yeah.
Yeah. You lost the whole deal. Plus,
and you owe money.
Yeah, you owe money. So now, what the problem is that a lot of these companies are not going to actually be able to get their money back from the individuals. It's not like you can come knock on the door and say, "Oh, by the way, you owe me $5,000. You only invested $1,000, but you owe me $5,000." So, a company FXCM, again, one of the largest retail currency traders in the U.S. lost about $225 million.
Wow.
On that. Now, for a bank, that's not a lot of money, but for the firm like this, it's a lot of money that didn't have it. They were out of capital compliance. They were all messed up. They had to get an infusion from Leucadia, which is charging like 15%, and they can increase their rate by 1%, I believe it is, per month or so, until it's paid back. So This company is looking really in trouble. And then you have a couple of different major hedge funds that are closing down. I think there's one in the U.S., one in Asia somewhere, one in Europe. And this really caused a major problem overall, just a real inequity in the markets. Then you have Denmark freaking out because Denmark also has a peg to the euro. Now everybody's like, oh, my God. So what they do is they start shoving money into Denmark saying, I'm covering my positions. So now all of a sudden it gets out of balance there. So what they did was they unexpectedly increased the negative deposit rate. So in other words, you put money with Denmark, it costs you money. So you don't want to keep money there. You want to get your money out of there. It's going to cost you, let's call it 0.25%. But what's the point of that? So they're making sure that they're saying, hey, you know what? Number one, we're not going to break the peg because we see what happened here. And number two, we're going to make sure we don't because we're going to make sure that we have negative deposit rates. And all of this was ahead. First of all, what happened? Let me give you the timeline. I think it was on Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday. The European, what would they call that? The Central Court of Europe decided, okay, that they put down a ruling, not necessarily law, but an interpretation that quantitative easing, buying sovereign bonds in Europe through the ECB is legal. It's okay to do, which goes against what I understand to be constitutional law. And all of a sudden the next day, because now don't forget what Switzerland was doing was they were selling the Swiss franc and buying euros constantly. So they got this glob of euros because they need to keep the peg straight and the euro kept on dropping. So they keep on buying it and they have this glob of euros.
Right. So they decided this is the waste of their time.
Not as a waste of time. We can get really, really screwed up here if there is a major quantitative easing program and the euro drops.
Yeah, which it's going to do.
Right. So they break it. They're still sitting with all these euros, okay? And they, of course, they're short their own currency. So their own currency moves up hard. Their market moved down like 12% that day or something like that, something ridiculous. And this happened right after. So we're thinking, uh-oh, what's going to happen? Now, the next day, a news item comes out, a little leak by Europe. You know, it looks like we're going to do about $55 billion of euros a month of quantitative easing, of buying. Well, markets were like, oh, well, that's kind of what we expected. Euro goes up a bit. Markets don't do much about it. Nobody's very excited about it. The next day, what does Draghi do with this trial balloon? He says, you know, we're going to do over $60 billion. Kind of sending up a little bit of a, let's test the markets and see what they do. And realizing that the markets didn't really react favorably, he just bumped it up the next day. Huh. Guy's a master, isn't he?
Yeah, master bonehead.
Yep. About $1.2 trillion. Now, what I don't understand about this is that when the U.S. started the quantitative easing program, interest rates were much higher, right? And bond prices were much lower. So what happened was they started buying all these bonds and drove prices of bonds down. They made the interest on bonds very, very cheap. So therefore, companies can refinance and do a lot for their balance sheets. And their interest rates would go down here, so hopefully lend to lower rates. Well, already in Europe, before this, in anticipation, rates were at all-time lows. Bonds were sky-high prices. So what's going on? One of the things that Draghi said is he's willing to buy bonds with a negative yield.
Huh.
Which means that he'll buy bonds that he knows he's going to lose on.
What's the point of that? How's that? What's the logic there?
Well, therefore, he just can know. He realized he could just keep buying if bonds are, let's say, trading at 106 and they're yielding 0.5 and the yield to maturity is a negative 2%. So you're going to lose that money on it. You're going to lose the premium on it. He's willing to buy it. In other words, placing even more strength in his argument and what he's going to do, saying he's not basically going to back off under any circumstance. Euro drops about 2% that day. Markets rally. All excited about, they don't know what, but they're rallying.
Well, something going on.
Something going on. We're going to rally. That was very exciting. And, you know, ended for a moment there that the U.S. stock markets were actually positive for the year, just for a moment. So that was kind of like what went on last week into this week. A lot of craziness. And now we're seeing that there was a unexpected cut of interest rates in Canada, drove down the Canadian dollar because it was rising. We just saw today that Singapore did an unexpected drop also, cut their rates, so the currency dropped also. This is absolutely unquestionably, again, right into your thesis about central banks mayhem. It, getting crazy. Causing all sorts of, you know, problems. So
it's almost as though they don't really know what they're doing.
Right. They're just all fighting and trying to keep it all down. Meanwhile, the dollar kept rising, and although it turned around today a bit.
Yeah, it's at 113.
Yep. It was down by almost 110.
Yeah, I know. That was great. It'll go back. That's the direction it's now headed. These are just blips going in the other direction just to kind of balance things a little bit.
Well, I'm looking for a bit of a pop.
I suspect
here.
It's going to head toward a dollar.
Yeah, there is some conversation going on that there'll be a parity eventually. Unless, tomorrow we have a Fed day, unless the Fed does something and starts mentioning the strength of the dollar being a headwind for the economy, because that's very deflationary. Strong dollar is deflationary. They do not want that.
Yes, but there's no real, except for fuel prices, there's no real evidence of any sort of deflation in a broad sense.
I would agree.
And in fact, all these people who bitch and moan about the printing of all this extra money, they're the ones that are saying, oh, we're going to go into hyperinflation. But in fact, you're pretty much pushing up against the deflationary pattern, which is just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I think our Fed's doing a great job, to be honest about it. Nobody likes them.
Well, and that's why all these other central banks are trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, they're a little late to the game.
Yep.
And I don't think they know what they're doing. I think they think it's voodoo or something.
A little black magic at the Fed, huh?
Yeah, they're doing it. Let's do it, too. It worked for them.
Well, the European Central Bank can't provide the same kind of... See, all we did was we took the money from the Fed. They created money, and they bought federal bonds. You know, the bonds of the United States. They bought some other things, too, along the way, but...
Mostly that.
The Eurozone, why in the world would you want to drop Germany's rate if it's the lowest on record? And what is it going to do for them? Their economy is just cruising along.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
That's
the problem with the Eurozone and the European Union, is that these countries are still pretty much kind of doing their own thing, but they have to share the same monetary system. I think it's crazy.
Well, that's why in Greece there was that snap election and the opposition party won.
Yeah,
this is a party that basically has the big finger up to Europe and saying,
"Hey, communists!
Yeah, we're not paying this deal anymore. We're not going to, you know, have this austerity. They're even saying that this is like a Nazi occupation. That's what they're likening it to.
Which, the austerity program that's being forced to do? Yeah, I know. And I think this is the wrong, I think it's the wrong approach. I think the Greeks sense that this is wrong, this austerity. This austerity has done nothing. It's just made things worse.
Yeah.
And there's no evidence that it would ever work.
They have a 50% unemployment rate for like the men under 25.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is that now what's going to happen? Because in a way, if Greece exits the Eurozone, this is Euro positive. This is bullish for the Euro.
Right? Yeah, which also makes me think they're not going to do that.
I don't know how they can do it. It would be a real mess. It would be
too much of a mess.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there. But they're going to fight it. If nothing else, they're going to try to just take out, you know, whatever loans they have and squash them down to zero.
It's not unusual for people to renegotiate loans anywhere in the world. Well, why is Germany so adamant about saying that the Greeks can't do that?
Because they basically handed money to Greece and essentially drew down the money from their coffers, because they're a big supporter of this, where Greece isn't, and basically handing money to Greece.
Yeah. Well, don't you think maybe that was stupid?
Yeah, well, it was very stupid. It was great for them for a number of years. I mean, really, Germany won. They came out smelling the rose at this point. Now they got to pay the piper. It's kind of like our banks here that got the bailout, and now they're being taxed to pay, you know, pay back some of the stuff and being all pissed off about it.
Right. And I don't see that much difference between the deal they did with Greece giving them money and those housing loans for, what are they called, for people that really can't afford to take out the loan.
Right.
And then you wonder why they fold on the deal.
Right. The subpar. The
Subpar. Yeah,
whatever they are.
Subprime.
Subprime.
Subpar. Them subpar loans.
Yeah, they're very subpar. Well, now Fannie Mae is going back to a 3% deal. They're the 3% down payment. Can you believe that?
Sounds like a good idea for people that don't have any money.
Right. Back to what we did before where we had some problems. Anyway, so we're seeing that Google, Facebook, possibly Caterpillar, clearly having some pricing pressures. Apple, I don't know if we talked about this, but Apple is raising their prices on apps in countries where currency problems are hitting. So, for example, in Europe, a 99-cent app is probably going to go to 119 now. So they're going to be increasing the rates on their apps on certain countries where they have some kind of currency conversion issues to try to make up for it, which is interesting because those countries can't buy things outside anymore because they're expensive. 99 cents is more expensive than it was before, right? And now the prices are rising, which is, I don't know.
Well, that doesn't seem very wise.
Well, you can't say anything negative about Apple with the quarter they just had.
Yeah.
They blew it out pretty good.
Yeah, it looks like it's setting itself up for a great short.
Well, one of the things we had, let's talk about some of these numbers. They earned $3.06 versus $2.06 on estimates.
$2.60.
60 cents, sorry, yep. $74.6 billion of revenue versus $67 billion, so about $7 billion more. They're guiding next quarter down, which they always do. Everybody just overlooks this to about 52 to 55, because who knows. But that number of iPhone sales was pretty amazing.
A lot of phones.
74.5 million phones in the quarter.
Yeah.
3 months.
Yeah, that's a lot of phones.
I can't imagine giving away free pens at the rate of 74 million in a quarter.
You wouldn't move fast enough.
It couldn't happen. Free paper clips I couldn't do. I mean, 74 million phones, pretty amazing. Estimates were for about 64 or 65 million. Now, iPads definitely were hit a bit. They still sold a lot of them. They sold 21 million, but the estimates were about 22. A lot of cannibalization.
Yeah, the growth is slowing, but they're still selling a lot of them. And it's the market's accumulating. It's not a product that users typically buy every, a new iPad came out. Let me get rid of my old one. No, they seem to like the iPad they have.
Yep.
It's not like the phones. Those phones, they turn over.
Well, the other thing is that also there's some cannibalization of the iPads from the iPhones. I mean, I always say I have an iPad 2. I don't really like it anymore.
That big, giant iPhone.
Yeah, but I have the iPhone 6, and it's plenty of room to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
And it's speedy. It's got a lot of memory. So, you know, it charges very, very fast. The iPads take forever to charge. Gross margins were a big thing also that we saw, that about 39% gross margin, which is enormous. And that has to go to a lot of the iPhone 6 sales, big sales of iPhone 6 in China, enormous sales. And the news is that starting in April, the iWatch is coming out.
I don't think that's going to do much.
No? Maybe it'll be fancy.
I think the Apple mavens, the fanboys, whatever you want to call them, are going to buy. In fact, I don't even think all of them are going to buy in, but a bunch of those will buy, and then I think it's just going to die on. I just don't see that product catching on. I mean, I don't see what do you need it for?
I don't know what it does yet. I mean, we still don't really know what it does. I mean, is it going to be a communication device to your iPhone? Is that why they made the communication between the iPhone and, like, where you get the beeps everywhere and you get the calls everywhere? And
maybe.
So I guess it's going to be just
people don't wear watches is all I know. I mean, I could be wrong because I'm always wrong about Apple, generally speaking. But because there's built-in audience they have, I just don't see this taking off. Well, and they're expensive.
If they sold 74 million iPhones in a quarter, could they sell 10 million watches in a year? 10 million watches in a year?
I don't know.
Seems like
I think the iPhone is much more of a necessity. The phone, the watch, I don't see it being important to anybody's life.
Right. Well, we saw that Yahoo beat by 1 cent. I don't know if you looked at any of these numbers and what was going on with Yahoo. They beat by 1 cent, but their internals, their page views, their advertising revenue, it's horrible. Just keeps on declining. Meanwhile, the stock was up 6% because one of the things they did, they said, hey, you know what we're going to do? We got a $34 billion company here, and underneath that, we have ownership of about $40 billion worth of Alibaba. So we're going to spin off Alibaba. Now, if you take that math, just do a quick, calculation. $40 billion worth of Alibaba. Yahoo's worth $34 billion. That means Yahoo x Alibaba is worth negative $6 So the spinoff they're doing, which is a tax-free spinoff, by the way, saving them about $16 billion in taxes, is going to free up the company to continue losing money, obviously. But I guess the big question is Melissa Meyer. What has she done for the company?
Spun off Alibaba.
That was there before she got there.
What has she done for the company? Well, she's I have no idea. I've never didn't think much of her hiring, being hired, but I haven't thought much of any of the people they've put in. I think the board of the Yahoo company can't find anybody to run the thing with any vision.
Right.
She just bought some company the other day. I think today, yesterday, something like that, of some company specializing in video advertising.
Ah. Very exciting.
And I think she made a comment. There's a press release with her quoting herself constantly in the press release, saying this is the future, video, video, video.
Well, one of the things is that what I think is the most interesting about this is that really the word is that now that Yahoo is going to spin off Alibaba, and it's going to be a standalone company that doesn't make money and may be floundering, it's a prime takeover candidate. Who knows if Microsoft is going to come back to this deal and get it at a steal?
I don't know what they'd want them for. I mean, they're in bed with them with the Bing thing, but do they already get profits from that? What, they'll lose that easy money. I mean, they have the whole company, so they'd get it that way, but I don't know.
Right.
Google definitely would, the government would not allow that.
So with the news of earnings recently, also big banks aren't looking so good. Most of them have fallen pretty sharply since their earnings outlook with J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo. All their earnings have missed the mark pretty substantially. Trading volumes are down on all of those. Really, the fixed income desks are doing terrible. Just overall, there's just not a lot of margin right now due to the fact that rates are so low. We're not even talking about any losses. You don't even hear about the big, we were, we traded and we were up 400 days out of, 401. It just doesn't, you just don't hear that anymore. So home builders also were under pressure. There was some concern with Lennar about their outlook, KB Homes. D.H. Horton actually beat this week. That was good. It raised up things a little bit. And we saw that their builder sentiment had dropped a little bit. One of the things that came out today was, with all the things going on around the world, with all the concern about, you know, what's going to happen with the economy, the Ebola, the Russia, the, you know, you name all different things. Consumer confidence today came out and just was 100, and I think it was 102 versus like 90 something, which is the highest since 2007 again. So consumers are just giddy.
Yeah. Well, the reason for that is the gasoline prices.
Yep. The 204 by me.
When you go to oh, that's nice. I filled up my tank the other day and it was $35. The last time I filled it up when the prices were high, it was $75.
Right.
It's like a lot. You go, wow, this is terrific. It makes you very happy.
Right. And I filled up the boat today.
Oh, you filled up the boat.
And we get a truck that comes to
$500.
Well, we get a truck that comes to the house. And when I first got the boat, it was about $4.70 a gallon from the house, and no tax. And on the water, it was like $5.75 or something like that. It was $2.90.
Nice.
Yeah, that was good. That felt good, especially because we took 140 gallons.
What kind of mileage does that thing get?
Cruising, it gets about 1 gallon per mile.
What?
Yeah, boats usually do it in hours, so it's we burn 20.
That's why they do it in hours.
Yeah, 25.
No wonder. Well, 1 mile to the gallon.
Yeah, 25 gallons per hour cruising. You know, good clip, maybe 35 knots.
And you can do about 25 miles.
Yeah, on a gallon.
One
gallon per hour.
25 gallons. Yeah.
Yeah. So getting out to the ocean is about 7 gallons.
7 gallons of gas?
Yep.
So it's only 7 miles?
It's less than 7 miles, but it's only about 2.5 miles, actually. So let's see, it's seven round trip. So it's about two and a half miles, yeah. Okay, so.
Remind me not to get a boat.
Yeah. You know what boat stands for, right?
No.
BOAT, break out another 1,000. That's what a boat stands for.
That's good. I knew it would be something new.
GoPro. Hey, good news. GoPro is good news for buyers of GoPro. Made a major Barron's story that says that shares were overpriced when it was about, I think shares were about $47 at the time. And they see it maybe going to 36 because of all the competition. I mean, talk about being late. This is when it was 47. GoPro now is at, with the market coming down and all, GoPro is at, I think, 51.70.
Hmm.
So Barron's beautiful little move there, 10% helping. Right after the story came out, actually, it shot, you know, came down and then came right back up, just like I anticipated. It happens every time with Barron's. They come out with a story like this, especially late. Stock comes down a bit during the day, and maybe that day or the day after, it shoots right back up. So
it's almost as though they're working for the other side.
Yeah, it's a very odd thing when they do that. It's almost like they get people caught in that, and the amateurs, they go into the short, they sell it.
Yeah, the amateurs who read Barron's.
Right, they sell their deal, and they go. I used to read that all the time, cover to cover. Loved it. Haven't read it in years. Russia was downgraded to junk.
Yeah, the Russians are bitching about this.
Yeah, well, of course. Currency, they'll probably say, we don't look at rating agencies anymore. Currency flops about 8%. Market takes a dive.
I think this is setting Russia up to be a really outstanding overall buy.
Yeah, well, it was actually up today very nicely. Let's see. It was up about 4% today. Mm. The currency came back a bit and the market came back a bit. But I don't know. And now what's happening is that Europe is looking to impose more sanctions. Today they announced, more sanctions. Like, Europe, calm down. Didn't you know that really hurt your economy? Now they're all, we're with the quantitative easing deal, and we can do what we want, and we're going to get our economy back, and we're going to.
This is the Europeans being clueless about this stuff.
Clueless, so stupid. Have you heard of Lending Club?
No.
So what this is essentially a consumer to consumer lending, it could be micro lending, I guess, in a way. So you go out there and you join in, and you're a lender. Right, there's a lot of people on there that want to borrow money. So you look at all the different deals, and you could either do one-on-one. You say, oh, I like this deal. This guy's going to pay me 7%, and I like what he's going to use it for, and I like his credit, and I'm going to lend him money directly through this. They're an intermediary. Or you could do something like a basket. Say, you know what, I'm just going to put it in there and let them divide it up with, let's say, 10 different loans. You could do maybe a couple $1,000 you could lend, and you get your monthly income and all that. They raised a few $100 million doing this over the last number of years. Well, all of a sudden, they go public, and the stock, of course, you know, moves right up, just like Box did. And no matter how bad the company is, you can do an IPO, and it just moves right up. And now, all of a sudden, these big banks are popping up as lenders doing the same kind of thing.
This is all bad signs.
Yeah. Maybe. But Lending Club, symbol LC, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, look at this.
Yeah. It was as high as, I think, 29. It's at 20 right now. Couldn't short it for a few days there when the IPO came out. It's actually, where did it close? 2059.
You think it's a short, eh?
Maybe. Just saying. You got a lot of negative things going on there. You know, rates can go up. Less people will borrow. People could default. That's a problem. Competition, you know, that's a big issue. So this is something that you may want to take a look at.
Lending Club Corporation, 2059. Okay.
So a little update today in the face of a very bad market, but we'll see what happens here. Facebook will be coming out their earnings soon, I believe. But they suffered a pretty long, I guess over an hour, disruption.
Yeah, there was a bunch of people tweeting about this. I wouldn't know, of course, since I don't use Facebook.
But so I think that what's really interesting is that they're coming out and talking about, you know, oh, it was a internal situation where, you know, whoever changed the switch or tapped the code or whatever they did, right? But I was wondering, what if Facebook was hacked? You know, they're making a good point that it wasn't.
Yeah, I wrote a column on this, as a matter of fact, in PC Magazine.
There you go.
Before this happened.
Well, tell me what would that would be bad.
Oh yeah, no, it'd be fantastic. You'd end up with you'd have all kinds of information. You'd have all kinds of passwords and private conversations. I think that's the thing that you could really get some mileage out of. Private conversations, everybody's photos, and all the stuff that's in the archives. Because, you know, when you erase a photo because it's embarrassing or whatever, Facebook apparently still keeps it.
Right.
But they don't post it anymore. But it's in some archive somewhere, some cave. Yeah, and then it would also upset the economy. So many people rely on Facebook for their website. They could just go to WordPress.com and get a real website. They also, I've noticed a lot of people in fact, USA Today is one of these violators. If you want to post a comment on USA Today, you have to sign in with Facebook.
Well,
they've done these deals with all these companies. So Facebook is a cornerstone of the whole economy. It could do serious damage if it was hacked or shut down completely.
I don't understand those Facebook websites. I never really got it. It makes no sense to me.
Why, you mean when some company... You know, the
it doesn't Jim do what it's
thumb not, tack company puts his website on Facebook.
I never understand. It's like, oh, do I really got to sign in to look at the website all? And
or yeah, maybe I don't get
sign
it
in. Oh. And then it doesn't even look like a website.
It looks like Facebook.
Yeah, and I don't know what to look for. And, you know, usually on a website you have about us, contact, you know, products, whatever. It's just a whole different thing. And it doesn't make any sense to me. It kind of reminds me of, you remember the, what was that called now? MySpace.
MySpace.
First of all, MySpace. It would. Thank goodness I didn't have like epilepsy, because that stuff with the spinning things and the stars and the
animated GIFs were the theme of the day.
Oh, that was horrible. That was worse than the
cats running around and things bumping up and down and
right.
So unicorns everywhere.
So 70s.
We didn't have
60s maybe 70s. No, but like the dress of the 60s and 70s, you know.
Yeah, no, it's very reminiscent of like this. It's 1969.
Yeah,
had that feeling.
Yep.
Music blaring.
Ugh. Every time I looked at it, I'm like, what am I looking at? And it was just there was no rhyme or reason where anything was. It was just one giant page of junk.
Yeah.
IBM had another terrible quarter. Surprise, surprise.
And how'd the stock do?
It didn't do well. Not well at all. IBM is...
Maybe this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah, this is with massive buybacks. This is with layoffs. This is with, you know, re-engineering, turnaround strategies, selling off bad businesses. Still not doing well. It's not doing well at all. And there's some rumor that there was going to be massive layoffs coming up, but now all of a sudden IBM is out saying, oh, no, these reports are not true. We're dismissing those. They're not at all accurate, so we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. It looks like it could be. I got a call tonight from my local police, which I get a call all the time.
You know, yeah, what? Was it local police or a boiler room claiming to be the local
police?
But
these guys are incredible. They're relentless. That you can't
get
off.
What do they want from you?
They want money.
They get money from the taxpayer.
That's what I said.
Money.
I said, you know what? I usually hang up on you guys, but now that you're on the phone, I'm going to ask you a question. Tell me something. Why should I give? Because I thought my taxes that I'm paying are paying these salaries. Oh, he said, well, sir, you live in Florida and there are no state taxes. I said, okay, I got that. But you know what? My
property taxes.
Exactly.
There?
My property taxes. You're not just getting paid out of the goodness of somebody's heart. There is money coming into the state of Florida through various different funds, and you're getting paid. I don't care if it's a general highway or it's going to be some kind of a tax.
Gas tax?
Sales tax. You're getting paid. Why am I giving? I don't understand. Well, you know, this is the PBA. We supply, you know, money for people when the officer is wounded or this. I said, but I appreciate that, and I think it's great. But I still don't understand. Isn't there funds like pension funds and health insurance and all this set up already? Why are you asking me for money? I don't understand. Well, you know what? We patrol your area and all that, don't you? This is what we're going to do. We're going to give you a police badge to put in your wallet and one of those things for the back of your car. I'm like, what is that going to do for me? Because I have a little sticker on the back of my license plate that a cop isn't going to pull me over if I'm speeding? Or if he pulls me over, I flash the little stupid badge and say, oh, I gave to the PBA. What are they going to do? Thank you very much. They're going to give me a ticket anyway. I don't get the whole thing. Is there something I'm missing?
It's a racket.
And you feel like if I don't give, they're going to come by and shake me down somehow. That's what
that's the idea, but they're not going to do that.
Right. That's what it is. It's a legal shakedown. Right,
with pretty much a shakedown operation. Yeah.
What used to happen in the 20s. And maybe. Yeah.
This still happens.
Oil inventories are still expanding. APA came out with numbers tonight. On Tuesday nights, they come out with a number. And tomorrow, on Wednesdays at 10:30 in the morning, there's the DOE numbers, Department of Energy. And there was a 13 million barrel expansion of inventories. Wow.
Wow.
Now, even with prices so low, I guess that and Saudi Arabia and the Middle East, and we saw that the king of Saudi Arabia died. President Obama went there, but he didn't go to France. What was that about?
Well, he makes the claim, and the office makes the claim, that they weren't fully informed, and they didn't get the invitation. The invitation was at the bottom of the mail pile or something. They have some excuse. So, we would have, if we'd known how important
the post
this was,
office
would have gone.
That damn post office.
Post office.
God damn that post office.
They had a million excuses, and they apologized, I think, for not showing up or even sending Biden, because at least Biden, you know, has got nothing better to do. He'd been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they never shipped him there. No. So.
Oh well. So what else is going on? Let's see. Meteorologists we talked about. Russia, GoPro, big banks, Greece. Talked about that. Well, we got lots of things we covered here, huh? What didn't we cover?
I don't know. I think we can go to the stocks, though.
We can go to the stocks. Yeah, we could do that. Let's take a look here. And this is a game that we play. There's not an offer to buy or sell any stocks, not a solicitation of any sort, not a recommendation of any sort. If you find that anything that you like that we talk about, hey, do me a favor, go and seek professional financial advice before you do anything. So, couple of stocks came off. I think we know about this. Ulta, Transocean rig just kept on going down. TransCanada. I guess the word trans is no good in there. What's going on otherwise? I guess TransDime is good. There's another trans in there. TransDime is good. It's up 20%.
Yeah, CEO was buying, and so I thought it would be a good idea.
Yeah, I got a couple of people that asked me questions about that. They said, how are Dvorak's stock picks doing with the inside? I said, well, they're doing good. American
Pretty
Assets
much.
Trust.
Well, here's my insider's stock picks, 20% up.
Yep, there you go.
32% up. These other ones are
Walgreens.
And Walgreens, 23% up.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they're all up.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't take a genius, in my opinion, and I'm no genius. I'm not a professional stock picker like you. But all it seems to me is that if the guys that are running the company on their insiders and they're still slowly buying up stock, they're not buying it up to throw their money away.
Right.
They'd like to throw other people's money away.
Yeah, of course. So we see International Business Machines, IBM, 153, still sticking to that number. Can't get below that 152, it seems. I think it did for a day or so, but it's down. It's up 5.5% on that short. Walgreens up 23%, Fleer up 5%, Monster Beverage up 20%. GoPro short that you have is the winner, up 44%. Top tick there. That was great. Panera Bread not going anywhere, down 6% on the short. The Doug short of the short, is up 5.5%.
Good.
So that's working out well. CAS Medical Systems.
Until the price of oil drops to 30.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a problem. That'll definitely be a problem, especially for my next pick that I'm going to put on this week.
Oh, you're sticking to this.
Sticking to the oil.
You're going to oil. You're still sticking. Here's the thing that I actually discussed this on the No Agenda show. I didn't think much about this until because the old thesis is that the price goes down to a certain part and some people start to cut production, and that's what happened in the 80s with Saudi Arabia.
Right,
they had dropped the oil price down to $12 or $14 a barrel to kind of put the squeeze on Russia, which is kind of what we're doing now, just incidentally, and Saudi Arabia cut production. And while the other OPEC countries didn't, the price eventually went back up. But when it did and they put production back online, they had lost market share. They lost a bunch of market share.
Yep.
And they vowed that this would never happen again. And these oil guys have long memories because it's a kind of business that doesn't really switch around a lot like, say, semiconductors. So the Saudis have decided they're going to drive this. They're going to take this thing. They don't care how far down it goes. They are going to keep ramped to the max because they don't want to lose any market share, especially after all these shale oil companies and all these other guys, you know, go out of business and people pick up that market share.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to drive this baby down into the ground. I think if it got to 30, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Well, we'll see. I mean, in the new regime in Saudi Arabia doesn't seem inclined at all to change anything at all. And it seems actually a little bit more hostile towards America than the former fella.
Yeah, the only possibility is another thing I picked up on. I think this was on, I don't know what TV network I picked this up on, something overseas, but everyone's saying, well, they moved this guy in and they got everybody's going to come along after he dies, which is expected to happen in the next decade or so. This one analyst says that this is bogus. He says that these are not strong men that they have lined up to run the country, and there could be fractional disputes and the whole country could start to fall apart with nothing, without a net. Without a safety net, and if that happened, then the price of oil would skyrocket.
Well, they came out with a statement last week that they think that oil's. Somebody said in Saudi, one of the oil ministers, oil at 200. It's going back to 200.
I think he was reading that old report from Goldman Sachs from 8 years ago.
Maybe he's just getting it.
He just got it. Slow mail. 200.
So my picks this week, I have one wild card pick, which is FXCM, which is the company that lost about 90% of its value, 85% maybe, after the currency debacle that we talked about earlier. They got the loan. It is possible.
Still in business.
Still in business. Still, you know, trudging along here. Got a $300 million infusion from Leucadia. And, maybe there's a buyer to the rescue on this. Some talk about Schwab's and talk about other companies. I personally traded this for about 50% gain on about 2 days. And,
nice.
Just kind of clipped it real quickly. But thinking that there could be another pop if any kind of good news, stability in the markets, something happens that benefits them. Or if somebody comes and buys them out because they still have a massive client list or, you know, less than they had. And if they clean up their acts a little bit and time goes on, this could be a really good move to the upside. On the open, after it was halted,
it had 224,000 trading accounts with an equity of $1 billion.
Now it's 750 with now a loan of 300.
Mm.
Pretty much cut them in half. So we'll see what happens with that. The other one is Triangle Petroleum.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Oh, okay. Well, we can do a purple if you want.
No.
Okay. And then the other one is Triangle Petroleum, another company that, I got to look at a chart of this. It was a lot higher at one time, a lot. But one of those companies that is also involved in oil and gas drilling, et cetera, and, you know, shale, and just got hatcheted. Just killed. It's at what now? $5.75. I think it was as low as like $3 not too long ago.
$3.10.
Mm-hmm. Well, if oil goes up, there's going to be a direct beneficiary if they can stay in business. That's a lot of ifs going on.
I consider that the, one of the riskiest things you've put on this list ever.
Yep. It is. It's a risky one.
Something to do.
We'll play. What do you got? Anything?
Yeah, I do have one thing. If I get this, my browser to switch. I got another insider, again, CEO of a company. He just became CEO, I think, about 1 or 2 years ago. And he's been buying and buying and buying and buying and buying and buying. And then he just dropped $15 million into his company.
Really?
Yeah, XON.
Let me put this on here. XON. Enter. What is that? Let's see what comes up. Intrexon. Is it a biotech?
Biotech. And yep. It looks like, yep. And if yep. you look at the chart, the thing was like bouncing around and it was down to like, I don't know, $15. And it went up. And then there was a huge spike that which always, when I see this sort of pattern, especially with the holding steady at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then this big spike is as if it's as if a bunch of people found something out.
Or they short squeezed and it. Yeah.
That could be too. And then it drops back down to where the trading, you know, the kind of the trading pattern it was having before. Now it's up a little bit. And this guy drops $15 million into it. Ha! Come on.
1 year it's up 11%. So it's down 3% 1 year. Last 3 months, let's see. It's up 50% in the last however long. It was as high as 35. Institutionals own about 83%, which is always a good sign. They hold the stock up very nicely. Let's see what this company does. Synthetic biology. What is that now? They are regulating gene programs or sequences of DNA that control cellular function and cellular systems or activities that take place within a cell and the interaction of those systems in the greater cellular environment. Mm-hmm. But for what? What is it for?
Yeah.
What kind of?
I don't know.
What kind of?
I suppose
thing?
I should.
Losing money. Okay, here.
It's a genetic engineering. They got something that worked out, and they're ready to rock.
Healthcare, food, energy, and environmental sciences. Able to develop new and improved products.
Look at their profile.
They help make those gigantic celery stalks from Sleeper.
Giant bananas.
Yeah. But this, you know, this is the thing that this company is losing money like crazy. 208 employees, operating margin negative 70%, getting better. It was negative 244% for the whole year. Net profit margin negative 248%. So obviously they're not profitable at this point, but they obviously have the potential for being a buyout candidate. Who knows? Their earnings are estimated.
Buyout written all over it.
February 2nd is their earnings. So we're talking about next Tuesday, Monday?
Yeah, because the first is Super Bowl Sunday. That much I can remember.
Forgot that this week. Wow, that came fast. That came really fast.
Not fast enough for my taste. Oh, yeah. Getting tired of these stories, these analysis of just out of control.
What about that saggy ball story?
Yeah, it's great.
Ridiculous. All right, so we're going to put this in here. We got this in here. And you can see all of these over on dhunplugged.com. You can find all the stocks that we have under the weekly stock picks. It's on the top menu. It's on the side right. Underneath where all our tweets are going there. Let me put down, this is insiders buying. Actually, one insider buying. Okay, and this goes here. And we're going to put a little coloration on that there. That didn't work. That didn't work at all. There we go. So that's John's pick. John's picks are in gray. My picks are in white. And we put all of the disclosures, whether we own them or not, on next to them to make sure that myself or John C. Dvorak, clients of Horowitz & Company, or anybody that we know have ownership in it. So there's a little bit of disclosure there. We're not just plugging something like some of these sites. You ever see these guys that just plug away because they own it?
It's ridiculous.
They try to put it off as, we're just giving you a good idea.
They don't have any rationales. I mean, I want to tell people out there that we are going to segment this part of the show off as a premium.
We're working on it.
We're working on it. The problem is the models for doing this are scant.
Yep.
But whatever the case is, I hope that people benefit from the conversation about the stocks. Because we go over, like you just did with XON, you look at some of the things I wouldn't look at because I'm pretty rigid about what I'm checking out, which is the insider activities. And then you see, well, that's interesting, and you might perk up. And the discussion of these companies, I think what we do when we discuss these stocks, I think is extremely valuable.
Yep.
Because it gives people some perspective. And our perspectives are not the same in any way, because you're a professional stock picker and I'm a sometime financial writer and tech expert, if that means anything. But I've always been some years ago when I was a kid out of college, I had a NASDAQ license.
Oh.
Actually trade.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't that interested in it. I'd like to write. Anyway, the point is that I think people get something out of the discussion because it gives them a little, that's an interesting thing to look into. And I don't know, the way the thing looks, we have a lot of winners.
Yep, so far. And actually, we did pretty well last year. And then don't forget, we also have the price target, the 10%. We may adjust that for the segment that we do. Yeah, so, yep. Well, we also may adjust it a little bit more fluid with the with the show that we do, where we're going to cut it up and put the stock picks as an add-on.
Right.
So that'd be good.
So I think that'll get us enough to keep people. We'll be back next Tuesday. Sorry about missing last week.
Yep. Sorry about that. All right. I'll see you next Tuesday.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.